Well, this is part two, and it's all about paths of righteousness. And I titled this lesson, God's Way.
Amen.
God's Way. We can try doing things our way, and it usually ends in disaster. It usually ends in trouble. But when we do God's way, even though there may be trouble, He has promised, amen, that He will take us through. Hallelujah. This is a very famous scripture here in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. You know, God wants us to be blessed. God wants us to be happy. All of you who are parents, you know that probably one of your greatest joys is to see your children happy and to see them doing well and to see them prospering. Amen. You know, that would be my greatest joy, is to see my children and even my grandchildren happy and doing well. God is no less than that. He is both our mother and our father. And He wants to see us blessed. Amen. He would like to see us happy. It's the devil that wants to take away our joy, that wants to come and sow seeds of chaos and destruction. But here in Jeremiah, God is opening His heart, and He's saying, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. That is, God has some thoughts towards, and He says, say to the thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end, a blessed end, a good outcome. But you know, as you know with children, sometimes they're disobedient. If they would only listen and learn. It seems to me that as people get older, they realize that their parents weren't that dumb after all. You know, I've had several of my children say to me, you know, you were right. I've said to my father, you were right. I've acknowledged when he had told me some stuff and I didn't want to listen, and he was right. God wants us to be blessed. That's His goal. If we could only just understand that and listen to the path and take the path that He has chosen. Of course, this whole series is based upon Psalms 23:2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me besides the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That's what God wants. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to succeed. But He also, the only way that can happen is if we're obedient. If we really fulfill His will, we're going to be obedient. So we're going to go into this word today. Jesus in the New Testament said that broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And there's a whole pile of people going in that direction. It's the easy route. There's no resistance. But straight, now when it says straight, it doesn't just mean straight, it means narrow. It means it's a fight. You're going to have to push your way through. Amen. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. It's so easy to try and work things out ourselves, and most time we can't anyway. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. You know, sometimes we look at a situation and we think, okay, if I do this, and I do this, and I do this, and we put ourselves like a little child trying to fix something that is too big for them. They don't even, can't see really what the real issue is. God is telling us in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge. And that word there in the Hebrew means to know. The more we know of God, the more we'll trust Him. Because we'll see what He's done for us in the past, and we will trust Him. Sometimes we try and take the burdens on ourselves, and then we get depressed and down. And as I've been preaching about, you know, radical peace, that only comes by trusting God. Trust in Him. Acknowledge Him. That means to know Him. The word there in the Hebrew is yada, means to know. And He shall direct thy paths. A lot of times we try and direct our own paths. You know, but my prayer lately is, Lord, you tell me what to do. Please tell me what to do, because if I choose, I'm going to make a mess. Lord, please, you take control. You make sure that you guard my mouth or my actions so that I only do what is pleasing to you, that I only say what is in your will. Amen. Trust in and rely, in the new translation says, trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart. And do not rely on your own insight. or understanding. Because when we look at an issue, we think, okay, we can fix it by saying this or doing this. But most times, we can't. We can't. The only one who can truly fix it is God. He's saying, listen, if you will trust me, I will work it out. That's hard. Trusting God is hard because he doesn't do the timing when we want it. Look at what Abraham prayed for a child for 25 years. God had told him he was going to get one. And every year, his wife was still barren until they decided to do what? Fix it themselves. And out of that came all kinds of problems. See, when we are not patient, when we're not ready to wait upon God, the same thing happened with King Saul. Samuel the prophet had told him to wait. I'm coming. Just don't do anything. After 7 days, he didn't see the prophet. He says, well, you know, the people are getting restless. I better act as prophet. I better act as priest. I'm going to go ahead and do what I wasn't supposed to do because he's taking too long. You ever tell God he's taking too long? Come on now, let's be honest. Lord, you're taking too long. What's with this issue, this situation? It's been going on for months or years, and you're taking too long. Every time in the scripture someone moved before God was ready, it caused them problems. I just quoted two of them. Abraham, when he decided to listen to Sarah and have a surrogate baby, right? And it caused problems. It caused problems. And then Saul, of course, being disobedient and acting in the role he was not called to because he would not wait on God. Every big piece of problem I've had is because I acted out of haste. You can never miss God's will by being patient. You can never miss God's will by being patient. And in fact, most of the times when you have too many options, what that's telling you is to wait. You have too many choices because what does the scripture say? The Bible will say this is the way. So when you don't have a choice, then you know that that is the choice. You get what I'm saying? When you have too many choices, it means it's not time yet. Don't move yet. Because there will be a time when you only have one choice, and that is the way, walk in it. See, that means that the choices have narrowed down, that you only have one choice. Do not rely on your own insight or understanding. Sometimes it looks, okay, this is what we should do. But looks can be deceiving. As I said last week, you know, Lot, because he chose based upon looks, lost most of his family. Only he and two daughters came out of Sodom. All the rest of the family was destroyed. All based upon his choosing, based upon his own understanding and his sight. In all your ways, verse 6, acknowledge and recognize him. And in the Amplified Version, it says, he will make your path straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block your way. When God is in it, he's going to open the door. I've testified so many times of how we've come through these 12 years, and every time we had an obstacle, God opened the door. He made the path straight. He opened and removed the obstacle. He provided the means. He will. He has. And he can do it again. Amen? Amen. He is the ever-present God in time of trouble. Amen. That's why he says he was, he is, and shall be. Amen. Because he's done it in the past, he's doing it now, and he'll do it in the future. He is the one that truly is sustaining. You know, he could just take one thing away and we'd all be in trouble. We would. He will make your path straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block your way. That's what the Amplified Version says. We're talking about the path of righteousness. How do we get on that path? How do we make sure that we are on the right way? Amen. Let's look at this in a little bit more. It's all about knowing his will. It's all about knowing his will. People will come unto you and pray for you and say, oh God, God has called you to be an evangelist in Timbuktu. Well, my response is, well, that's very good. But when God tells me as well, then, you know, then I'll agree. Because it's in the mouth of what? Two or three witnesses. Or God has told me that you're going to marry so-and-so. Well, he never told me that. You know, people are so quick to say God says when God has not said. What has told them this dream is they ate chicken last night too late. You know, they had some dream, you know. But when we are in God's will, we will know it. Amen. Let's look at that. How do we know his will? How are we sure? Because it's very easy to get our will confused with God's will. It's so easy to put our what we really want on top of what God wants and think it's our will. Colossians 1:9. Let's read this. It says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that he might be filled with the knowledge of his will." We need to pray that God fills us with the knowledge of his will. If you're not sure, that means, you know, pray some more. If you don't know what to do, pray some more. That's what that is telling us, that we should pray that we be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. The thing that pleased God about Solomon was he didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for, you know, all these other stuff. He asked for wisdom so he would know what God's will is. That's the most important thing to pray for, really. Lord, what is your will? Every day we get up, we should ask, Lord, what is your will? Maybe when we do that, God will direct our path to someone who is just waiting to hear a word from us. Amen. Imagine that if we ask, Lord, just help me to do your will today. That's what Paul said to the Colossians, to the Colossian church. He said, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that he might be filled with the knowledge of his will." Wouldn't it be great if we knew exactly what to do in every circumstance? And know that it was, wouldn't that be awesome? Well, the Bible is telling us we can if we ask. No good thing will he withhold. Is there any reason for God not to let us know what his will is? But most of the time we don't want to know, because we don't want to do it. Let's be honest. We don't want to do it. Amen. Verse 10, that he might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Here Paul is writing this epistle to the Colossian church and dealing with some issues that they had in the church and some decisions that they had to make. And so he was telling them, listen, I'm praying that you be filled with all the knowledge of his will and all wisdom. The reason that God set up the church in this way is because he could not write down every single thing in the Bible for your particular circumstance. So that means that's why we have spiritual counsel. That's why we can pray and ask God directly. Amen. I don't know anything really when it comes down to it, but he knows everything. Everything. You see, he goes on to say, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. There's a lot he puts in his verse here, that when we know his will, it'll strengthen us. We won't be fearful. If you know God's will, you won't be fearful. You'll execute with boldness. You'll execute with boldness, because when you know his will, you're not going to be fearful, oh, maybe I'm not sure if I'm doing the right thing. When you absolutely know it's God's will, you'll walk up with boldness. Amen. And you will speak with boldness. You will direct your actions with boldness. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. When we're not sure, we need to submit ourselves to God. We need to pray. If you're not sure about a problem, then pray. Because many times, and I've only really learned this as I've grown older, I've realized as I've grown older how, I don't want to say stupid I am, let's put it ignorant I am. You know, when you're a teenager, by the time you get to 18, you know it all. You got it all worked out. Nobody can tell you anything. But as you grow older, you know, experience starts to teach you that, no, you don't know everything. And by the time you get to my age, you're sure that you don't know everything. You're not sure even what you do know, except that Jesus is merciful and he's gracious. And as the Bible says, he's the lover of my soul. So I've come to the conclusion now that if I don't get his guidance, I'm sure I'm going to mess up. We have to know God's will. We have to know God's will. Amen. Prayer is one way of knowing God's will. He has promised us that if we ask, we shall receive to know his will. Amen. Proverbs 2:1 says this, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, then shalt thou understand the fear or the reverence of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. The Bible says all we have to do is pray and seek God. He will reveal the direction to us. Sometimes it will be wait. I mean, Abraham had to wait a long time, 25 years. Now, it could be that it would have been sooner if he hadn't reset the clock. Sometimes we keep messing up and resetting the clock. It was going to take a week, but we went and did something foolish, and now it's still going to take a week because we reset the clock. And sometimes the delay is because we keep resetting the clock. If we would just wait upon the Lord, what does the scripture say? He shall. Right. But many times we act and the clock gets reset. As I've said before, maybe if Moses hadn't killed the Egyptian, he wouldn't have had to wait another 40 years to be called of God to deliver Israel. But he acted hastily. He didn't say, is this a good thing? No. And lots of times we do that. We act hastily. But the most important thing is knowing God's will. Amen. For our lives and for getting direction. So how do we find this path ourselves, a personal path? I put a little picture up there, and it's got directions to lost, confused, unsure, unclear, perplexed, disoriented, bewildered. Amen. Now, there's been times when I can identify with all of those. Amen. Where the situation is so pressure-packed that you're not sure which way to go. And that's the time to not make a hasty move. Let me show you something interesting that was the key to David's success. And you all know what the key to David's success was, right? Let's look. There's a special word in all these verses. First Samuel 23:2. Therefore, David did what? Inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. That was a city. Now, once he received that, he could move with confidence, with boldness. He knew God said, you're going to win. There's nothing more than knowing ahead of time how the play is going to go. You know? But if he hadn't inquired of God, he would have been timid and no doubt have lost, because he wouldn't have acted boldly. So that is in 1 Samuel 23:2. Verse 4 says, again, look at this. Two verses later, then David inquired of the Lord yet again. He wanted to be absolutely sure. Shall I pursue? The Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thy hand. David wasn't shy about confirming the word from the Lord. 1 Samuel 30, verse 8, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Isn't it great when you hear a word from the Lord? Yes. 2 Samuel 2, 1, and it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up after, go into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, go up. And David said, whither shall I go? And he said, unto Hebron. God will be specific with you. He didn't just say, you can go. David then said, well, where shall I go? And God gave him the answer. God told him specifically where to go. Amen. The key to David's success was this one word, inquired. Or if you want to put it in three words, inquired of the Lord. Four words. 2 Samuel 5:19, and David inquired of the Lord. You see, the few times he got in trouble was when he didn't do that. When he acted just based on his flesh. When we do that, Satan has an opportunity to set up all kinds of traps, bring all kinds of disasters, and to just mess us up. But every time that David was successful, it was because he inquired of the Lord. We need to find that path for our lives. We need to make sure that we're on a path of righteousness. And the only way to be sure when we're living our lives and walking is to pray. God, I really need your help. Should I take this job? Should I go in this direction? Should I give this advice? Should I get into this situation? Should I hold my peace? There's times when you have to hold your peace. Did you know that? Where God says, don't say a word. Don't say anything. Let me work in this situation. There may be times when God just says, stay. Don't move. There were times in the Bible where they said, shall we go? And God said, no, you stay. I'm going to take care of this one. You won't even have to fight. You won't even have to pick up a sword. You see, there are times when if we inquire, we will get the right direction, the right advice. So we have to find our own personal path. And that only happens if we will inquire of the Lord. We have to ask God, shall I do this? Shall I buy this car? You know, we would probably not buy so many lemons if we would have asked God, right? Shall I do this? Amen. So we have to look to our path. When you are not sure, what do? Pray. And you notice that even when David was sure, you know what he did? The Bible said he inquired again. So when you are sure, pray. Right? Put more prayer on it. When you are sure, so that you are doubly sure, that there is no doubt, that you can operate in confidence that this is the way that you're supposed to go. We need to make sure that we pray. And the thing is, when it's God's will, as the scripture said, he will remove the obstacles. Yes, God's will, the path may be littered with blockages and it may look impossible. But when you start on it, God will start to remove the obstacles. God told them when they got to the river Jordan, Israel, want you to cross the river. They said, well, shall we go down to where it's, you know, low, where the water, where we can walk across? No, I want you to cross right at this spot. I want you to cross right at this spot opposite to Jericho. Now, if you go to the New Testament, we find out that somebody was baptizing right at that spot. Does anyone remember who was baptizing right at that spot? John the Baptist. Why was he baptizing right at that spot? What does the scripture say about that spot in Jericho? Because there was much water. So now, look at what God did. He told him to come to the place to cross where there is a much water. There was an obstacle blocking what God told them to do. And that's what we find a lot in our lives. When we look at the place where God tells us to cross, it's blocked. But here's what God told Joshua. He says, the moment the priests, as soon as they start to walk by faith, I mean, you're seeing a river, you take up the ark, and they tell you, just walk right into the river. Walk into your obstacle. Walk into your obstacle. I can imagine the priests, you know, they obeyed, but I can tell they was probably looking and like, that's what God told him to do. He said, the moment your feet touch the water, that's when the miracle is going to happen. That's when the obstacle is going to go. Because you have to move with faith. Because God told you he's going to do it. Do you see that? That in the New Testament, we're told the reason why John was baptizing at this place is because there was much water. When you study, you'll find it is the same place where Israel was baptized, so to speak. Because there was much water. God chose that place so that when he parted it, there was water like a wall on either side and the cloud covered them. So they were, in a sense, baptized again for all the people that were born. God will choose the place to baptize you. That means it might be a baptism of fire. But as soon as the people started to move and the feet of the priest touched the water, it parted. That's what the scripture will say. That God will move the obstacle and make your path straight. Amen. Isaiah 45 verse 1. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him. I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. You know, when God opens a door, no man can shut it. You like your testimony, really? Really, that's what's your testimony. They come to tell you, you owe all this money, and you said, no, you're going to speak to the higher judge. I bet that guy was kind of shocked. I bet of all the people he had called that morning to tell him that they owed bills, he didn't know what to do. Like, this is unusual. I like that. You see, God can open doors that man has blocked because He is the supreme judge. In this case, God had chosen to use this unbeliever, this king called Cyrus, to make the way for the Jews to go back to Jerusalem. It looked like they were done as a nation. They had been now in captivity for 70 years in the Babylon. But God allowed the Persian king Cyrus to come and capture the Babylonians, and he was going to use him to release the Jews. God can use some wicked people to make your path straight. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed. And all that means is chosen. God chose Cyrus to do a work, to release the Jews back to Jerusalem, whose right hand I have holden. In other words, God had allowed Cyrus to beat the Babylonians, just so the Jews could be freed. Whose hand have I holden to subdue nations before him? And I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. No matter what gates you're facing. In fact, what does the scripture say? The gates of hell shall not be prevail. Amen. Whatever gates you are facing, if you're in the Lord's will, and if you are walking by faith, God will open those gates. He will remove the obstacle. He will straighten the path. I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. Verse 2 says, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. Now, this was written in the book of Isaiah. This was 200 years before Cyrus was born. This is a prophecy that names a king 200 years before the event happened. Remember, Isaiah lived in about 800 BC, and this event didn't happen till about 600 BC. Isn't that amazing? That this was written in the Bible 200 years to the very name God named who the king was who was going to release the Jews. Now, if God can do that, he can look down the path 200 years. Don't you think he can look down your path a few weeks, a few months? And make your path straight? Of course he can. Of course he can, because he is the one that opens the door and no man shutteth, and shuts the door. Call the key of David. It's in the book of Revelation. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness. You see, when God opens the door, when he gives you the key, nobody can shut it. See, that judge, he thought he was in control. But God told him what to do. Amen. He will make the crooked path straight. So if any of you are now facing some gates and some doors that look like they're barred, all you have to do is make sure that you're in the will of God. All you have to do is make sure that God has said, walk before me and be thou perfect. And those gates will have to open, no matter what Satan is saying or doing. Amen. He will make the crooked path straight. I will go before you and will level the mountains. I will break down the gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. What God is saying, that nothing can be impossible if it's my will. You know, God had called Paul to be his disciple, apostle to the Gentiles. And God had determined when he first called him, he says, I'm going to reveal to you what great things you must suffer. And I'm going to tell you that you're going to be you're going to testify before kings and all these potentates. But to get there, he had to go through all kinds of things. They stoned him and left him for dead. Right? But because it was still God's will, they thought he was dead. He got back up. He was in shipwrecks, right? He was bitten by poisonous snakes. Nothing could stop God's will until he had fulfilled his commission. We had a missionary come, and I never will forget what he said. This is probably more than 20 years ago. I can't remember the name of the missionary, but he was a missionary to one of these very dangerous countries where they were killing Christians, where they were shooting and blowing up, and there was terrorism. And he would describe all the things that had happened, and how, even on the way to the airport, how he dodged bullets, how his car was stopped and they were searched, just like some of the other missionaries said. But the one thing he said, this that stuck in my mind, and I've told you this before, he says, if you have a mission, you cannot die until you have completed your mission. Amen. So if you want a long life, get a mission. Get a mission. It doesn't matter what Satan does. God will make the crooked path straight. Now, the other thing about finding a path of righteousness is you have to be willing to be led. It doesn't matter if you see the path, and if you don't want to follow instruction and be led, then you're still not going to get where God wants you to be. We have to be ready to be followers. Exodus 13:21. God gave this example of this when he led the children of Israel out of Egypt. He provided a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. And the instructions from Moses, from God to Moses, was, listen, you guys follow that representation. When that cloud stops, you stop. When the cloud starts to move, you move. When the pillar of fire stops, you stop. You don't do anything that doesn't. Now, it may seem like ridiculous because God led them in a circle. But God had a purpose and a plan. He led them in a circle. But it doesn't matter if God seems to be leading in you a circle. You obey. You obey. Exodus 13:21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud and led them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. And he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. That went on for 40 years. For 40 years. There were children born that's all they knew. They thought that was normal. Amen. Wouldn't it be great we got to the point where we thought following God is normal? Because there were children that were born that's all they knew. They grew up with this pillar of fire hanging in the sky over the camp of Israel and the cloud by day. They thought that was normal. We need to get to the point where following God is normal and not following God is the abnormal. Amen. God wants us to so trust him, amen, that we follow him by day or by night, because he has made provision. The Bible says he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of the fire by night. So in the desert at night, it can get cold. But here was Israel having supernatural heat and light beam down upon them. Just like in the tabernacle, in the tent of meeting, the candlestick was never to go out. They just followed wherever that went. God led them in a desert, in a wilderness place. So when we will humble ourselves to follow, then we will find that path of righteousness. In Psalms 5:7, here it says, but as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship towards thy holy temple. We have to ask God to say, lead me in a path of righteousness. So far, I've been making bad decisions. I've been going in a wrong direction. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. Make it clear, Lord, which way I'm supposed to go. Make it clear, Lord, the way that I should follow you. Now, some people, I'm going to give you an example, they want to tell God which way they want to go. They're not really asking, they're telling. Lord, give me that person. I want to marry her. I want to marry him. No, that's not being led. That's not being... Balaam, he decided he was going to curse Israel for money. So he did ask God, but he asked God for permission to go do a bad thing. Now, do you think that's going to work? Lord, I want to go kill somebody. No, God is not going to give you permission to do something that's against his nature or his word. But Balaam kept on asking, Lord, can I go curse these people? And the only reason he was doing it was for money. His motive was wrong. Even what he was asking was wrong. But he was still wanting to go and do something, so he went through the motion of asking God. If you keep asking for the wrong thing, sometimes, you know, just like we do with our children, we just say, okay, go ahead. But whenever a parent does that, that doesn't mean it's a good thing. No, it means that they're just going to let you suffer the consequences. You ever done that with your children? They just keep going on and on and on and on. You say, okay, fine, go ahead. But that's not a good thing. Sometimes if we keep asking God for the wrong thing, he may just say, all right, go ahead. Because we've gotten to the point where we're going to reap what we sow. Balaam decided he would go and curse Israel, and God finally said, okay, fine, go ahead. But his animal knew better. The donkey saw that it was disaster for him, and even to the point of speaking to him. He couldn't understand. You see, when you're fighting God, your way will be blocked. God will try and stop you. But if you keep on fighting, he'll allow your will to prevail. He won't, in the end, stop you. But when God says, fine, go ahead, that's not a good thing. I don't want God to give me his permissive will. I don't want him to just give me permission. I want his blessing. Amen. I want his affirmation. I don't want him to just give up on me and say, okay, fine. You've been asking for this. I'm going to let you have it. Because that's what happened with Israel. They asked for meat so much till it rotted. God gave them, they didn't trust God, so God gave them an overmuch of what they asked for till it rotted. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. Now, when we ask him, you know what God is going to do? He's going to say, okay, now I love the way you've humbled yourself. Follow me. Isn't that what Jesus did in the New Testament? Anyone he called them by saying what? Follow me. Follow me. Let's look at that. And he saith unto me, and it's interesting if you were to run a reference in the New Testament, how many times Jesus said, follow me. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw some people. They weren't sitting around. They were already busy. They were already working. They had their own business. But he called them and gave them an opportunity. He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. In Matthew 8:22, but Jesus said unto them, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. You know what that tells me? When God gives us direction, that should be number one. You need to drop everything else. Let the dead bury their dead. When God says move, that's when we do move. Right? It should take the number one priority. Again, in Matthew 9:9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. That's why these people ended up being apostles, is because when they received the call, they responded. Many of us, when we receive the call, when God is speaking to us, we start to resist. We think of all the kinds of other things we need to do and all the reasons why we can't. But Jesus will always give us a call to follow him. He will prepare a path of righteousness for us. We just need to get to the point to respond. In John chapter 1 and verse 43, it says, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Peter and saith unto him, follow me. In John 12:26, if any man serve me, and here's the key, let him what? Follow me. That ties with our main scripture. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, we want God to show us his will, but yet when he really does, we don't want to follow him because we see the obstacles and we don't want to walk by faith. But when we actually will follow him, the Bible says he will make our path straight. Just like I said with the ark going into the water, as soon as their feet touched it, it parted. And as we saw, God chose the deepest part. He chose the place where it was hardest for them to go over by themselves. They could not have done it unless it was going to be a supernatural occurrence. God will put you in a place where you need a supernatural occurrence to get through. Amen. But when you have gotten through, you can look back and say, wow, that was all God. That was all him. That couldn't have been me. See, he wants to give you a testimony of victory, of deliverance. Amen. He will give you a supernatural path to follow. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. A servant doesn't fight the master. He does as he asks him to do. And the more perfectly we do that, the more blessed we will be. The more, it says, the Father will honor us. You know, a lot of times I really fought being a pastor. I didn't want to be a pastor. And I've told you sometimes I still don't want to be a pastor. But you know, God spoke to me in 2004 in such a way that left me no doubt as to what he wanted me to do. So I finally obeyed. I was kind of old. I was in my 50s when I first, you know, became a pastor. And that's kind of old. But, you know, the good thing is, in the parable, the person who got hired at 5 o'clock still got the same pay. Because it's how you end up, not so much how you start. Amen. It's how you end up. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. So you have to be there at the end to collect the prize. A lot of people start the race, you know. Especially today in Madison, they're having a marathon. 26 and a half miles. And I heard there was 500 people signed up for the marathon. I guarantee you, 500 people will not be there at the end of the 26 miles. No. Paul says, don't fight like someone beating the air. But it's he that endureth to the end. We have to run this race with patience. Because life and the devil will throw all kinds of stuff at us. But if we are following, the Bible says he's going to make a way. In every temptation, there will be a way of escape. If any man serve me, let him follow me and where I am. See, he has gone ahead. Just like in the Old Testament. Now, I didn't tell you the whole story. When they were going to cross, the ark was to go first. It was to prepare the way. Because the people probably would not have just walked into the water. So God told Joshua, tell them to stay about 2,000 cubits behind so they could see what was happening. And so the ark and the priests went first and made the way. Made the way. I can imagine that they were all watching, thinking, now what's going to happen here? We know Moses had the rod of Aaron and he stuck it over the because none of these people had seen that. All their parents had died. They'd never seen this miracle. Now we heard parents say when they crossed out of Egypt, the Red Sea, Moses took his rod and he put it over and it parted. But Moses is gone now. So what's going to happen here? And this part of the Jordan is in flood stage. It's got tons of water flowing. Let's see what happens here. But you know what God did? He went before. The Ark of the Covenant was the first thing to go up to the water, representing God's presence. That's the story. He will go before and lead the way. And when the priest carried his presence, represented by the ark, that's when the water parted. I can imagine all the people who were like about a mile away, or about between a half mile and a mile away, were watching to see what would happen. And suddenly they saw the miracle repeat that they'd heard about. God will give you the miracles of your parents if you will trust. Because my dad used to tell me about all the miracles that he heard about and that he witnessed. I want to see that happen. But you have to be prepared to follow. You have to be prepared, ready to go. Joshua told him, okay, we're going to camp this side. And on such and such a date, God is going to help us to cross over. And the people prepared. They got ready to cross over. And then he told them, this is the way you're going to do it. You're going to take the ark with my presence, and I'm going to make the way straight. I'm going to prepare you to get over into the promised land. See, if we will follow, he will make our path straight. So we have to take no thought. We just have to be obedient. Amen? Amen. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat and the body more than raiment? I put that up there. Where God guides, God provides. Let me say that again. Where God guides, God provides. Where he opens the path, he will make sure that there is provision for you to go. If he says go here, he's going to have to make it possible for you to go there. Right? As I said, took him to the most worst place to cross, but he made the path as soon as the priest touched it. The waters parted, and then all of Israel crossed over on dry ground. The miracle was repeated. The deliverance was repeated because they were obedient in this case and they followed. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? See, when we trust God, He's going to lead us in paths of righteousness. Sheep doesn't ask the shepherd, well, are you sure where you're going? Are you sure there's this pastor over in that field? You know, I'm not sure about that. I think over here would be better. No, sheep don't do that. Sheep just follow. They are such a herd. They have such a herding instinct. That's why we don't have any singular words for sheep. One sheep is still a sheep. It's not called a shep. Because they're not used to being by themselves. Right? They're always in a herd. That's to tell you how strongly sheep do not question the shepherd or where they're going. They just follow the person that's in front of them. And that's what Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Now, the moment you see me not following the shepherd, then you have a right to say, I'm going back on this path, brother. But sheep don't come in singular. We never talk about a shep or whatever you'd come up. It's always plural because sheep are always together and they always follow the shepherd. That's what Jesus said in John, my sheep, they hear and they know my voice and they follow me. See, when we start to try and work it out, that's when we get in trouble. Well, I'm not sure about this shepherd. I think you're going the wrong way. That's a bit rocky over there. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought. Now, I'm not saying this is easy. You know why? Because we have this tree knowledge, I call it. When Adam and Eve sinned and they got the knowledge of good and evil, what really that meant was that they got independent judgment. Don't know if it's getting a bit chilly. I'll turn it up a little bit. I see some people here. Okay. We'll crank it up a notch. Amen. It'll soon get warm in here. Crank it up a notch there. But it's because we want to apply our own judgment to situations instead of saying, Lord, you be the judge. See, if we give it to God, He can declare some things for us. He can declare us perfect. Amen. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? See, and once we're on the journey, then we should start to bear fruit. We should bear fruit. Listen to this. Ephesians 5:9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness. Remember, it's a path of righteousness and truth. Hebrews 12:11 says, now, no chastening, no correction for the present seemeth to be joyous. No, none of us rejoiced when Daddy said he was going to get his belt. None of us thought that was a great, great deal, right? Or they get the switch. My parents didn't use a switch, but I hear over in the USA, that's what they did, right? And you had to go get it yourself. You go get me that branch. Go get the switch. My dad had a belt. And, you know, it makes a certain sound when it's coming out of those. Those of you who are understanding, you know that sound. And it kind of snaps when the last comes out of the thing. All right, yes. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Sometimes on the path, God has to chasten us because we want to step out. We want to go in some other direction. It's actually His mercy in keeping us from disaster. Sometimes he's protecting us from even worse pain. You know, I used to tell my children, listen, if you don't listen to me, life will teach you a much harder lesson. You know, David realized that he said that he would rather fall into the hand of God even than men, because men will not be merciful. Think about that. He said, I'd rather fall into the hand of God than men. He was given a choice of things, punishments, and he was very smart to decide he wanted to fall into God's hands, because when he appealed to God for mercy, mercy was given. Amen. So if we are going to bear fruit, you know, if you have a garden, you know what you do? You have to trim it. You have to trim off all the leaves. And then next year you'll get more fruit because it forces the sap, the strength of the tree to be into fruit production. So God will sometimes, because we're on this path of righteousness, he'll be trimming some parts. Now we don't like it. There's some things we're learning. We're learning patience. We're learning to wait. We're learning to trust because, ooh, we're feeling that. Ooh, that hurt. Lord, come on, take this away. But God knows what he's doing because when we come out of that, we'll have some faith because of looking through what we have came through. We'll have some character and we'll know that we can bear some things that we didn't know that we could come through. It yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. The path of righteousness means sometimes that we're going to have some of our branches trimmed. Amen. Sometimes we're going to have our branches trimmed. James 3:18 says, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. We need to meditate on that. The fruit of righteousness is sown in them that make peace. Many times we're in the right, but God is saying, you know, don't make a big fuss. I know you're right. I was telling somebody the other day, well, I probably won't go down that story, but I have to censor myself occasionally. But the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. That means we can sow the very fruit we want to reap. And we sow that by being at peace. When the devil wants us to get all riled up. Remember what I preached, radical peace? The Bible says that the fruit of righteousness comes, in other words, from the seed of peace. Let me say it again. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. It's hard to have God's righteousness when you're so upset and so angry and just want to get vengeance. No, that will not give you the fruit of righteousness. I'm going to have to hurry here. So one other thing about this path that I'm talking about is it is a walk of faith. It is a walk of faith. As I said, God took him to the deepest part of the Jordan to cross because there is much water there. Israel had to be baptized at a place where there was much water. And so it took faith. Where is Joshua leading us? You know, 20 miles down river, we could walk across. And there would only be a few little, you know, inches of water. Why is he, you ever question God? God, why are you taking me here? This is the worst place to cross. This is the toughest church to be in. why are you taking me here? This is a walk of faith. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing. He didn't go case the place out first and then make his own judgment. Okay, I agree with you, God. It's going to be okay. No, we don't agree with God after we see it. We have to agree with God before. Else it's not faith. By faith, he sojourned. He dwelt in a land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. He could have built a house. He could have, but he was so looking and his faith was in God that he didn't do it. The heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So this walk, this path of righteousness is nothing but a walk of faith. As I said, for the third or fourth time, God deliberately took them to the worst place to cross, where there was no way they could cross unless he did a miracle. He will bring you to the place where it looks the worst. And I'm sure they all had sent out scouts and things and they were saying in their heart. I'm sure Joshua got a lot of blowback. Like, what does he think he's doing? Doesn't he know just 20 miles downstream, we can cross over with no problem. Here we are crossing right in front of Jericho where the enemy is right there. That's where God took him to cross. Right there in front of the city of Jericho. Right where the enemy could see them. But God had a point because I tell you what, when they did cross, people of Jericho ran inside and shut the door. You know why? They said, uh-oh, Uh-oh. Something's going to come down here. This God of the Jews is something else. We thought, no way were they going to get across this river. Now look what happened. Isn't that what Rahab said? The fear of what God has done for you, how he smote the Amorites. And now look what he's done. They all know that God is with you. So once they crossed, the enemy ran away and locked themselves up in their city. That's what happened. That's what the devil will do, because God will give you such a breakthrough miracle, Satan will have to run away. Satan had to run away. God chose that place to make a statement. God will take your life to make a statement if you will let him, so that he gets the glory. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. For we walk by faith, not by sight. That's what the comes down to on this path. The scripture says, thy word is a lamp. And I've said before, it's not a floodlight. You can't see all the way down the path. All you can see is where you put your next steps. See? Your next. Because you have to walk by faith. It's a daily bread. It's a daily provision. It's a daily living. I was telling some people this week, you just got to take it one day at a time. You can't be looking too far in the future, because you'll get discouraged. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light. He's just going to give you enough light that you take the next step. It said that Abraham left this place not knowing whether he couldn't see all the way. He didn't get reports of how the land was. He just started walking. And because of that, God declared him righteous. You keep on walking and God will declare your path and your obedience righteousness. Amen. If you could stand with me. Amen. And then the Holy Spirit is going to be our guide. John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will do what? Guide you. How many times we ask God to be our guide? Lord, please, I need you to show me where I'm going. He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He'll show you the next steps. He'll show you where to put your feet. The problem is, most of us, and sometimes me too, I don't ask enough, Lord, where's the next step? What's the next thing I should do? Galatians 5:18. But if he be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Verse Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We are on a journey. We're not a destination. People, a lot of people come, get baptized, and think that's the destination. I've been baptized, so now I'm saved. No, you're not. All you've done is started. You haven't got there yet. So people think they come and they get baptized and you never see them again, because they think that was it. That was it. That was the magic that they did. They got. No, you have just started the journey. And as I've said repeatedly, it's he or she that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Romans 8:14, but as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Hallelujah. I'm going to end with the same verse we started it. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord, hallelujah, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. It's not a standstill religion. It's not a standstill relationship. It's a walk. It's a walk of faith. And when we trust God and let the Ark of the Covenant go before us, he will remove the obstacles. The gates of hell shall not prevail. The gates and the walls of Jericho did not prevail. But you know what they had to do, though? They had to walk around them. They had to walk around. They didn't just stand there and stare at it and say, don't know how this is going to work. God told them what to do. You got to walk around it every day. Every day you walk around it. Next day you walk around it. Next day you walk around it. I can imagine the people of Jericho saying, what are these fool people doing? What do they think is going to happen? Little did they know. Little did they know. And on the seventh day, I want you to walk seven times. But Joshua, we've been doing this for 6 days. Now you want us to do it seven times? I tell you what, when God says do something, just do it. Just do it. Mary said to the servants, whatever he saith, just do it. You want to get some more wine? Whatever the servants say, just do it. Oh boy, if we get to the place of perfect obedience, nothing shall stand before us. No wall, no gate, no iron bars, no mountain can stand before us. Because God will straighten our path. Hallelujah. If you could bow your hearts with me, Father, we thank you today for your word. Lord, let it find good soil. Let it edify. Let it build up our faith today that we will walk that path of righteousness. Lord, that we will follow you, that we will find your plan, your will for our lives, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing, Lord. We ask you for blessing, oh God, and a powerful service to come, Lord God. Let every burden be lifted, Lord God. We come against chaos and distress and doubt and fear, and we give you all the praise and the glory and believe, hallelujah, that you are our God and you will make our path straight. We thank you in Jesus' name.